Chapter 24. Christoph. The following day, Jasmina gently shook my arm to wake me up. As she leaned over my sleeping form, some of her colored locks fell down on my face and body, and in my tired state, I thought snakes were crawling all over me. I quickly jumped up out of my slumber and expected to see slimy reptiles falling off of me. But when I turned around, I saw Jasmina with a crazed look on her slim face. "Shh," she whispered as she put a long, dark finger up to her white-colored lips.
"Come, light bearer."
As I caught my breath and tried not to curse at the strange djinn, I remembered her mentioning something about training last night. Jasmina waved her tattooed hand over the trap door, and I heard the distinct click. Jasmina's dreadlocked head disappeared as she climbed down the ladder, and I followed her. When I reached the jungle floor, I felt like I had been transported to another world. Jasmina's shack was cozy, and cool, and quiet, but the morning air of the jungle was stuffy and sticky, and a never-ending din of chirping birds, buzzing bugs, and other creatures echoed through the trees. Jasmina led me a little way from the cabin. At this point, I had no fear of the djinn, just a curiosity.
"Afraid of snakes, are you?"
she asked me as we walked through the trees. Eri told me some stories about the kinds we might find in the jungle, so, yeah, I guess I'm a little on edge. I never really liked the things. I saw Jasmina smile, and it reminded me of Rachel when she teased me, which made me feel some sort of connection to the djinn. I glanced down at my right hand, where the blue lines still colored my palm. "How long have you lived out here?" I questioned her, genuinely interested.
"Not too long now. Longer than some places, shorter than others. When I sensed something was happening in the ruins, that's when I came."
Jasmina spoke strangely, but it wasn't just her accent. I wondered if it was because she was a djinn, or maybe she just didn't have very many people to talk to. "Where are you from originally?" I wondered, stepping over a tree that had fallen. Moss and squishy-looking mushrooms covered the trunk. She intoned, and I realized maybe that was a strange question to ask a spirit.
"I guess you could say I'm not originally from here. And by here, I mean here."
She pointed toward the ground.
"Or here."
She pointed up into the sky.
"Does that make sense?"
"Not really," I laughed, but at the same time, I understood. Or I thought I did. Were spirits born, or did they just exist? I wasn't sure if they could die, either. Supernaturals like Rosmarin were immortal, but they could still die from other causes. Werewolves weren't immortal, but they lived really long lives. It seemed like humans always got the short end of the deal. I couldn't see the shack anymore through the trees, but we hadn't gone too far away when she stopped and turned around, causing her dreadlocks to swing around and almost hit me. She moved her face uncomfortably close to mine.
"All right, show me your powers, light bearer."
She purred at me with a sparkle in her amber eyes. I took a deep breath and admitted, "I don't quite have them under control yet. But I've been trying. The problem is, we really don't know much about them at all."
"You will learn. The more you practice, and the more you seek, the more you will understand,"
she reasoned. "Is there anything you can tell me about them? All I really know is it has something to do with my blood," I told her. I recalled all the times I spent in Sahara's lab with her alchemists testing me and my special blood.
"Yes, it's a part of you and your blood. I sense that. It's some ancient power, I think. Much like my own,"
she decided with a creased brow. "My power is like a djinn's?" I asked her.
"Yes, and no. It's just as old, but entirely different,"
she remarked. I couldn't tell if she was acting like Sahar, who usually knew way more information than she was willing to give, or if she truly didn't quite understand. Yesterday she had said she had never encountered my power before, so I figured she was trying to make sense of it just like I was.
Show me what you can do,
she encouraged me. All right, I sighed. I closed my eyes and focused myself like I had done many times in Carwyn Forest. I hadn't practiced using my light much there, but I had become adept enough at meditating so that even in the humid, noisy jungle, I slipped into the dark and quiet place where it was just me and my thoughts. I pushed the random ones aside as they floated into my brain and put all of my attention on that ball of the light in the center of my mind, in the center of me. I took a deep breath, then opened my eyes and focused on a tree ahead of me. I stretched my hand out toward the tree and sent a ball of light flying into it. Bark flew everywhere, leaving a blackened circular mark on the trunk.
That was wonderful,
Jasmina exclaimed.
Really good job.
Thanks. That's about all I can do. Well, I can also blast all the light out of me and kill zombies. And myself. I shrugged.
Right. We don't want to do that. You must learn control,
Jasmina advised. She grinned at me, and it was a warm smile, like something Sahar would do after giving me advice or comfort.
Let me try something.
Jasmina took a few measured steps toward me, still with a warm smile on her face. She reached out her dark hands and tentatively wrapped them around my arm. I felt her flinch immediately as her skin touched mine, but she held on to me. Her face contorted as she felt my energy.
Does it hurt?
I asked her, concerned that searing pain was shooting through her. Through labored breathing, she managed to reply,
No, it doesn't hurt. It's just powerful.
Her tattooed hands tightened around me, and she closed her eyes. My arm grew warm where she gripped me.
Close your eyes,
she instructed me. I closed my eyes and allowed a calm to fall over me again. I re-entered my meditations.
Good. Now feel the light flow through you.
Jasmina's voice came out deep and trance-like.
See the light.
I slowed down my breathing and centered all my thoughts on my core. A warmth circled around inside me, mainly in my chest, but I felt the light flow down my arm and pool around Jasmina's hands. She wasn't siphoning it into her, like I thought she would. But what was she doing? I let the energy flow and circulate down my arm and back to my chest, and then in my mind's eye, I saw the light in me. It was bright and white and represented every good experience I had ever had. My mother and father's face appeared, and my siblings, and then Rosmarin's face. I saw Sahar and Rachel and Onyx and Erwin smiling at me.
Good, good,
Jasmina yelled.
Feel the light, focus on it, and let it resonate out of you.
I watched as the light spun in my chest, and then I forced it to flow evenly through my whole body. I held on to those images of my friends and family, and then I gently pushed the energy from me. I opened my eyes to see bright, white light radiating around me in a ball, forming some kind of protective shield. I hadn't noticed Jasmina let go of me, but she stood outside of the sphere with a crazed smile on her face. She jumped up and down and shouted in celebration. I held the light around me for a few seconds, and then I let it slowly fold back into my body, and it wrapped back around my core. I fell to one knee and struggled to catch my breath. Whatever I had done had taken a lot out of me, but at least I had succeeded in controlling my powers to some extent. What did I just do? I asked wearily.
You used your light.
Jasmina clapped her hands together. I think you're more excited about it than I am, I chuckled. As I kneeled on the ground, trying to catch my breath, I heard a rustle and a snap of branches as someone walked through the trees toward us. Rosmarin appeared, and when she saw me on the ground with the djinn standing over me, her features crumpled into worry. She ran towards me.
Kristoff, are you all right?
I'm fine, I said through deep breaths.
We were practicing with his powers,
Jasmina informed a skeptical Rosmarin.
I made some sort of ball of light come out of me, I tried to explain to Rosmarin. It wrapped around me.
It pushed me away from you,
Jasmina added. Rosmarin looked from me to Jasmina, and when she believed we were telling the truth, she grabbed my face and kissed me.
Chris, that's amazing.
Try it again,
Jasmina suggested, and beckoned Rosmarin to follow her to a safe distance away from me. I steadied myself with some deep breaths and focused inward again. This time, I pulled at the light in my core and let it fill my body quicker, more fully, and I shot the light out around me. But this time, instead of a steady force field, it was a blast. A blinding flash of light shot out from me in every direction, blowing trees and plants back like the wind was rushing through them. When the light faded, the ground and trees around me were charred. I fell back to my knees, impressed at what I had done, but also exhausted. Rosmarin and Jasmina ran over to me and helped me up.
Kristoff, that was amazing!
Rosmarin beamed at me.
It took a lot out of me, though,
I breathed.
It might take some time for your powers to come back fully, but the more you practice, the stronger you'll get,
Jasmina repeated. The two women wrapped my arms around their shoulders, and we stumbled back through the trees to Jasmina's shack. Rachel and Erwin stood beneath the house, chatting and eating breakfast.
Is everything all right?
Rachel asked as she saw Rosmarin and Jasmina supporting me.
I'm fine, just a little winded, I comforted her.
I untangled myself from Rosmarin, and when she was satisfied that I could stand on my own, she and Jasmina climbed the ladder into the shack.
How was training, then?
Erwin asked me.
Decent, I guess. I used my powers and didn't die, so I'll take that as a win, I joked.
Rachel and Erwin laughed and handed me some food they had dug out of their packs.
Thanks, I said and took the bread from them. How are the others? I asked.
Everyone's fine. We had a good night's sleep. I'll have to be sure and thank the djinn,
Rachel mentioned.
You know, she's really not that bad. I kind of like her,
I told them.
I do too,
Erwin agreed.
I'm sure I'll get used to her, and she's bound to us now, or whatever,
Rachel added.
I think we'll be glad I made that deal, I mused.
Rosmarin climbed back down the ladder with my pack and hers. She helped me strap mine to my back, making sure I was comfortable and felt strong enough to carry it.
What would I do without you, darling?
I beamed at her. I heard a groan come from above as Jace descended the ladder. Lynx came down, too. They dressed back in their warrior garb with their weapons and machetes strapped to their belts. I glanced at Jace as his paws touched the ground, and he gave me a double take and then stood at attention.
Your Majesty, are you ready to begin the journey?
Only if you are, I chuckled. When the werewolf saw me laughing, he relaxed. Lynx descended the ladder and laughed at his furry friend and patted him on the shoulder as he walked by.
They're not going to give you 30 lashes. Don't worry, buddy.
Those of us outside the shack laughed, even Jace. Onyx heard us, and her gray head appeared in the trap door opening.
Hey, what's going on down there?
What's going on up there?
Rachel called.
We're all waiting on you,
Erwin added with a giggle. Soon enough, Sahar, Onyx, and Jasmina had joined us on the jungle floor with their packs strapped to their back.
Are we ready for the last part of the trip through the jungle?
Rosmarin questioned us all.
As much as I'm ready to be out of the jungle, I think I'd rather sweat it out here than in the ruins. But we have no choice,
I mused.
Shall we then?
Lynx asked. Lead on, I instructed him.